This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning and happy Memorial Day. Here's Sean Myers talking to you for the next 35 minutes or so here on the Fan Early Morning Show. 93.7 The Fan on a very special holiday edition. No Nicholas Harry Callis today. No Adam Crowley. No Doran Dickerson. It'll be Jack Hillgrove hosting from 5:40 to 10, and I'll be taking you up until Jack steps into the booth. Had a chance to work with him yesterday. And excited to do so once again here today. And again, happy Memorial Day. I know it's a very fun time, but it's also a holiday of significance that I hope everyone certainly takes at least a few moments to reflect upon. And for my Fan Early Morning Show, I encourage everyone to join the conversation if they would like to. You can call us at 412-928-9370. So for those who recognize me, Sean, don't call me Seth Myers, as I'm often referred to. That was the name that Joe Starkey gave to me. And that's because for the producer aspects of my work here at 93.7 The Fan, the majority of my time has been with Joe Starkey, whether he be with Ron Cook at the time when I started working with those guys, or flying solo many times, or with Bob Pompeiani, who will be in later today hosting, or most recently, Joe with Paul Zeiss. When I have worked with Joe, it's always been very entertaining, very enjoyable. And so I wanted to pay a little tribute, an ode to Joe Starkey today, because while I didn't actually produce these shows that I'm going to refer to, I was certainly paying attention and tuned in a few different times when he kind of approached a show with, let's get in a boatload of topics in a short period of time. And so Joe has a 4-hour show typically from 10 to 2. And I believe at least one of those shows within the past year, he wanted to discuss 100 topics in 4 hours. I don't have 4 hours here solo. I have about 40 minutes. We'll shorten it from 4 hours to 40 minutes. And so I won't have 100 topics, but my goal is to discuss 10 topics before I hand things off to Jack Hillgrove. So we'll see how that plays out. And again, if anyone wants to join in and discuss any of those topics, feel free to do so. Obviously, you don't know them yet. You're going to have to stick around and see where I go with it. But the goal is, whether I spend a little bit of time or a lot of time, or maybe even just a very, very quick mention, I want to try to get 10 different topics. And I'm not going to cheat, not saying that Joe ever did, but I'm going to try to give 10 distinctly different topics here, not a spinoff of the same topic and count that as a second thing. So I'm going to begin with a topic I actually heard over the weekend, and I have very fancy sound effects for this show. So here's topic number one. There we go. That will probably get pretty annoying by the end of this. Nonetheless, I heard Josh Rountree, my good pal and colleague here at 93.7 The Fan, on these airwaves not too long ago, a few days ago, was talking about the potential notion of the Steelers still trying to acquire a top-end wide receiver. And this has been discussed now for months. It was a big topic before the draft. People thought that the Steelers could pull the trigger on Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. And then even after the first round of the draft, there was talk maybe it would be rather Ayuk's teammate Deebo Samuel. We've heard Cortland Sutton mentioned many times. I know very briefly there were some rumors about Devontae Adams. So pretty big-name guys in terms of the wide receiver market that the Steelers have been somewhat linked to, maybe not all that seriously. And I heard Josh saying, is Brandon Ayuk worth potentially $30 million? Because the latest report is that that's what he is seeking. He's trying to get Amon-Ra St. Brown money, who just inked a big deal with the Detroit Lions. And so the answer, I think, kind of depends. But first and foremost, if you look at it in a vacuum, no, Ayuk and just about any receiver is probably not worth $30 million right now. Here's the thing, though, that we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years in the NFL, and I think quarterback's a great example, but I think wide receiver is a position trending similarly, where each and every year, the salaries for that position are just going through the roof. And so if you sign a player like Ayuk, who's almost certainly a top 10 and maybe top 5 receiver, he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not peak Devontae Adams or peak DeAndre Hopkins or something like that, where I think you could argue those guys would be worth $30 million right now, and really there'd be no qualms about it. I believe, if I'm correct, the highest paid receiver currently is A.J. Brown per year at $32 million with the Eagles, and he's obviously a very good receiver, but I don't know that he's in that discussion as this is like the elite of the elite when it comes to receivers, and I think that Ayuk's probably kind of more similar to A.J. Brown than he would be to Justin Jefferson. But what we've seen with quarterbacks is there were some quarterbacks getting massive, massive money, both in terms of the total amount of money and more significantly, the annual value of their deals. 3 or 4 years ago, it seemed like $40 million was an astronomical amount. Well, now that's probably almost below the going rate of a lot of quarterbacks. So I think the same applies to receiver. You sign a receiver like an Ayuk now for $30 million. Let's say it's over 4 years. $120 million, 4 years, and that's tacked on to the fifth year that he's playing under his rookie deal since he was a first-round pick. I think by the time you get to year number two of that new deal, $30 million actually will be not even near the top of the league. It might not even make him a top 10 paid receiver at that point, because I think every single year, much like quarterback, the salaries will go up so drastically because the salary cap is going up so significantly because the league is making so much money that it becomes a bargain as long as the player does relatively close to what the expectations are when they sign. By the time you get about halfway through a lot of these deals, there will be so many other receivers who have since signed more lucrative deals that might not even be as good that it's almost you bear the brunt in the first year or so, and then it becomes maybe not even a bargain, but at least market value to pay a guy $30 million when there's lesser receivers that are making $35, $37, maybe $40 million as we look 3 or 4 years down the road. So I think there's certain positions you can apply that to. Running back is not one of them. Safety is not one of them. And you look at the Steelers and they're paying a lot of money for a safety right now when other teams were cutting Pro Bowl safeties. So it all depends on the team's need. If you're not paying a quarterback massive amounts of money, I think you can afford to pay a receiver $30 million if you think that he's going to be your guy for the next 3, 4, 5 years potentially. So Brandon Ayuk or a similar receiver, I think absolutely would be worth $30 million if you sign him now, and they could be relatively productive for the next 3 to 4 years. That will take us to topic number two. There we go. And so this is kind of just about a general NFL overexposure, I would almost call it, because I believe we heard news, you know, last few weeks that the NFL is now trying to take over Christmas as well. We always think of the NFL and Thanksgiving. Now it's the NFL and Christmas that there will be a couple of games this year. It's always been an NBA day. But what the NFL has found is that they can make money by expanding further and further and further and further. So more games, which is on the horizon. We've already gone from 16 to 17. 17 will get to 18 eventually. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Would not be surprised if we go from 6 playoff teams to the current format of 7 playoff teams in each conference to possibly 8 playoff teams in each conference, because you get more money, more games, more TV content. I think we're going to see that happen as well. We know that they have expanded the draft to obviously primetime television on the first night and the second night. It is now a 3-day event. That was not the case for a long time as they continue to expand. And that also goes with how you can watch the NFL, because I've seen different stories kind of patched together. Basically, the gist of it is, if you want to watch every NFL game this year, which I don't have that interest, but I know there's a lot of people who do, you have to pay a lot of money. It could be close to $1,000, if not exceeding that, for all of the different services you now need to watch the NFL, whether it be Sunday Ticket, if you want Red Zone, and now you have games on Amazon Prime, and you're going to have games on Peacock, and all of these different streaming services that you have to pay money to watch the game. And, you know, maybe you just sign up for 1 month, who knows? Maybe you can even get a free trial for a month and then cancel in some of these instances. But it's becoming more and more where every single year the NFL continues to grow its footprint, which is almost hard to fathom where they can go next. We know that they've reached, obviously, markets internationally. That's now becoming a thing where just about every team's going to be playing either in Mexico or over somewhere in Europe, South America this year. So the NFL continues to expand. But my question is, will it reach some point where it becomes too much for the common fan? Obviously, the hardcore fans, they can't get enough of it. They're willing to pay all this money. They're, I guess, embracing the opportunity to watch and pay attention to and read about and hear us talk about the NFL 365 days a year. But to me, I don't want the NFL to completely overshadow and take away from the other sports that I love. And so, for instance, baseball and basketball, I mentioned, of course, the games on Christmas. That was a big staple for the NBA, and they'll still do their thing, and people who love the NBA will watch it. But now it's like, well, I also like the NFL, and I have to kind of pick and choose. I don't want the NFL to become that, where it almost takes away from everything else. And you can argue that that's been the case now, but I think it continues to happen more and more and to a higher and higher level each and every year, to the point where I think some people, myself possibly included, might say enough is enough with the NFL. You had something that was pretty darn close to perfect, and now you're just trying to milk it a little bit too much for what it's worth. Although we know the reality is every dollar that can be made will be made. And so they will do whatever it takes. To me, I think ultimately the NFL is maybe getting a little bit too much in terms of its reach. But that's the reality. I don't necessarily blame them for it, but I do wonder at some point down the line, will that maybe turn out to be just a little bit too much? Next topic. So I transitioned from the NFL to the NBA, and I mentioned that they're kind of competing now in terms of markets on Christmas, and we know for at least the first few months of the NBA, they are really playing second fiddle to the NFL. Anyway, it's not really until around this time that the NBA gets a big spotlight, but I think it's one that is deserved, the spotlight that the NBA playoffs have. And I'm a Lakers fan, so it was not a long playoff run for my team. But even just watching highlights, perusing Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, it is big-time games, big-time individual performances that really have loomed large as playoffs. And I think the first round, there were some great moments. And I saw all too well some buzzer beaters by Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets to ultimately oust the Lakers. Some good first-round series. I thought the second round was outstanding and will be remembered for quite a while. All those great seven-game series. And, of course, you think of the Nuggets and the T-Wolves and the back and forth with Minnesota winning the first two and then the counterpunch from the defending champs and then Minnesota almost improbably winning games six and seven and knocking off the MVP, Nikola Jokic. And it looked as though Anthony Edwards had kind of grab the mantle for maybe the best player in the NBA, or at least that was discussion for about a week's time. And now his team's down 3-0 to the Dallas Mavericks, and I think you could say, well, now Luka Doncic might be the best player in the NBA. Statistically, he's on pace to be one of the best ever, and he is still very early in his career, and if he gets to a NBA championship and wins a championship, that would certainly help his legacy already in his mid-20s. On the other side, the Boston Celtics taking care of business against the Indiana Pacers. Remember, the Pacers had that thrilling series against the Knicks just to, I guess, get the honor to lose and maybe be swept by the Celtics, because it seemed as though Boston was going to have a cakewalk to the finals, and that looks like that will be the case. And obviously, injuries for the teams playing the Celtics have been a big part of that, as Tyrese Haliburton now out with injury. But I think what has really been interesting is, I discussed briefly, the topic of who's the best in the world, not just in terms of the teams, but the individual players. And we have seen some great performances. And to me, what the NBA is now is really turning the page to this next generation. And there's been a lot made of Steph Curry was not in the playoffs. LeBron James was one and done in the playoffs, losing in the first round. Kevin Durant was one and done in the playoffs with the Phoenix Suns, losing in the first round. And so what it has created is an opportunity for players like Doncic, players like Anthony Edwards, players like Jason Tatum with the Boston Celtics, to kind of establish themselves as the guys in this league. And last year it was Jokic who guided his team to a championship. He's a multi-time MVP winner. A few years ago was Giannis. So what you're really seeing is, you know, maybe none of these guys become LeBron James. Maybe they don't even become Steph Curry in terms of their place in history and their impact on American sports culture and society. But the NBA is in good hands, and it's a game that's going to grow, continue to grow internationally as well, because a lot of those names that I mentioned, Giannis and Luka and the Joker, even Joel Embiid when he is healthy, although that's been a little bit of a struggle, as he's never really had that great postseason run. These are guys that international born, and they attract fans from all over the world to watch their games. And so to me, the NBA is in a really good spot right now, and it's not competing with the NFL. It's never going to be probably on those same terms, but it's providing some great entertainment now. And I think this is the time of year that even if you're kind of a casual NBA fan, you want to be tuning in to some of these great games now that it's in the conference finals. And looks like we might be headed to a collision course between the Mavs and the Celtics in the NBA championship. All right, next topic. And that takes us to a discussion about the NFL and the NBA, and in particular, the color analysts in those sports. Because I know one of the storylines in the NBA playoffs is that how much I think fans are missing guys like Jeff Van Gundy as a color analyst, because he was so good for such a long time. He was replaced by Doc Rivers, who decided that after about a month and a half on the job, he'd rather go back to coaching. And then J.J. Redick kind of took over. Doris Burke has emerged as the go-to color analyst for the NBA. And so to me, that was a drop-off, and it started to get me thinking about, well, what about the NFL? Because we know so much attention has been paid to Tony Romo and his massive contracts over the years. And now it's Tom Brady who's going to make his debut. It's been a little bit of a wait to hear him. And I think what's going to happen is he's already getting paid astronomical amount of money. People are going to tune in because it's Tom Brady, and they want to hear, is he good? Is he bad? Is he kind of in between? Will he get better? Will he make the effort? Will he be like Tony Romo, who kind of, you know, sweeps America off its feet right away and then regresses significantly? The big thing to me is I wonder, do fans really care if a big name guy is in the commentary booth as an analyst? Does that make anyone tune in other than just the curiosity of hearing the guy for the first time? Or, you know, I do think Tom Brady, right off the bat, people are going to tune in to see how he does. But once we get past that, you know, initial reaction, does it matter if the analyst is a big name guy? Does anyone tune in to a game because they want to hear the color analyst or the play-by-play analyst, as offensive as that might be to me, because that is my primary job? Do people tune in because of who is calling the game? I really would imagine that is not the case very often at all. And again, you can chime in if you have an opinion on that, 412-928-9370 here on the Fan Early Morning Show. I think you want someone that breaks down stuff without, you know, being too inside football or inside basketball, I guess, depending on the sport you're watching, too complicated. Not only, you know, do you need a person that can appeal to the people who are experts and they really want to see the X's and O's, but you have to be able to explain it and break it down for a common fan as well. So having the ability to do that is important. Mixing in some humor. I mentioned Jeff Van Gundy. I think that's important. Some interesting conversations, and he could always have that, whether it's name dropping celebrities or talking about things that he would change in the rules. And sometimes, ridiculous as it was, he would have some really good suggestions. But I have never thought of, oh, I'm going to watch that game because a former great player is going to be the color analyst for it. I think if you have a really bad analyst, or a really bad play-by-play guy, it can actually get you to either turn off the station altogether or maybe mute the game and kind of just watch it in silence, because 95%, I think, of what I'm paying attention to when I tune in is what's happening in the game. And I do also listen closely to the announcers because, again, that is my chosen occupation. But never, ever do I remember saying, I'm going to watch an entire game solely because this person's announcing it. I've also never said, I'm going to turn off this game that I care about because I hate the person announcing it. So I just wonder, with all this money being thrown around and with these big changes being made and trying to get different people in for the NBA playoffs that seemingly has not been well received, and now Tom Brady and Tony Romo getting boatloads of money and Greg Olsen getting demoted, even though he's done, I think, a pretty terrific job and does not deserve to be demoted to this juncture, what other people think in terms of the actual impact that broadcasters have in the sport that they're watching. One more topic here before we take a break. We've got 10 topics to get to. We are now reaching the halfway point. And so next topic, here's number 5. I want to talk about the, as it's often called and maybe incorrectly labeled, Wild Wild West of the NCAA now, with the NIL and seemingly for big time football and basketball players going out to the highest bidder every single year. I know I talked about an ode to Joe Starkey with this 10 topics and 40 minute approach that I'm taking here. I think ultimately his take is good for the athletes. Let them go wherever they want. Who are we to restrict them? I understand the idea that you're empowering college athletes who have, you know, for generations kind of been treated unfairly, where they were, you know, getting obviously a scholarship to play a sport. And so there's a lot of people that would give anything to have their school paid for because they're good at one particular thing, but they weren't really getting a whole lot of money from their performance in that given sport. And let's be honest, we always know that there was, especially big time football and basketball recruits, there was money being paid behind the scenes under the table anyway. Now it has been brought to light, but what it has created is, with the transfer portal and in particular the fact that there's basically free transfers as frequent as these players want, they can move all over the place pretty much every given year. I don't think that's necessarily good whatsoever for the sport. I can speak from a fan's perspective. It's not good for a fan's perspective to see this much movement where one year to the next, you don't recognize hardly anyone on the roster. And that applies for a myriad of sports, whether it be basketball, whether it be football. Obviously, people that have followed the Pitt Panthers know that they've had some massive losses on the gridiron this season. I know for Penn State basketball, I'm a Penn Stater, and they had basically an entire new basketball roster this past season. A couple years ago, Pitt men's basketball did the same, and it did pay dividends. The Panthers did make the tournament with pretty much a complete turnover. That said, to me, it's not a good thing for the fans to not know and not have any attachment to these players. You work so hard and get so excited when you score the recruiting victories out of high school, and then it really can mean absolutely nothing because the guys, for whatever reason, if they're used well, if they're not used well, if they're paid lucratively from the get-go, if they don't really get a lot of money with the NIL from the onset, for any reason whatsoever, they are moving to other schools. And you see guys that 5 years have been at 5 different places. And I don't know how that's necessarily good for the athlete. They can certainly do what they want in this landscape. But I would certainly prefer that, while these guys and gals, should mention, obviously, with college women's basketball blowing up and a lot of money to be made there and some other sports, including gymnastics, there are certainly, I have no qualms about athletes getting paid. The qualms that I have is they are being basically lured into free agency every single year to the highest bidder, which I don't think that's a great system. And so one thing that I would look at is I would limit one free transfer for any undergrads. And then if you want to transfer a second time, you have to sit out a year, kind of how it used to be, where that would probably give guys a second thought before they go from one school to the next, to the next. And also some regulations, some better regulations, and I think this will be forthcoming with NIL, where you have these boosters paying millions of dollars, or at least promising millions of dollars, and then sometimes they don't hold up their end of the bargain. We have a court case right now with Jalen Rashada and the University of Florida about that. But it could also go where the athletes don't really live up to their end of the bargain. I remember a few years ago, Quinn Ewers committed to Ohio State, I believe, for a pretty significant amount of money. And he wasn't even at Ohio State a full season before he transferred elsewhere. So if you're a booster for Ohio State that puts a lot of money in to get a quarterback like Quinn Ewers, he rides the bench as a backup for, what, 2 months maybe, then heads into transfer portal, and now he's a star elsewhere. How are you happy? So who's really winning in this scenario other than athletes getting paid the most amount of money that they can get every single year? I still want them to get the most amount of money they can get every single year. I just think there's a better way to get there where you kind of keep a little bit of integrity in the game. And for fans, certainly, you give them something where they can really get behind guys, because I think that's lacking now. In the NFL, you know, you have a rookie for 4 or 5 years. He's under a contract. You can really see him grow and learn to, you know, cheer for him and everything that you like about that particular athlete. That is now completely gone with college athletics. And I think there's some sort of happy medium where they can make it work so that everyone, all people involved, will benefit from it. We'll take a quick break. I got 5 more topics to get to when we come back here on the Fan Early Morning Show. The Fan Early Morning Show is presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro. We'll continue after this right here on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Sean Myers taking you for a few more minutes until we turn things over to the incomparable Jack Hillgrove. Third time that he and I will be working together in an 8-day span. And I mentioned before that this was going to be an ode to Joe Starkey, because he, 4 hours, 100 topics, I got to par it down, 1/10 of that, 40 minutes or thereabout, and I'm going for 10 topics. And we are halfway through, which means that I got to really pick up the pace here for topics 6 through 10. So let's waste no more time and dive right into topic number 6. We are about a third of the way through the Major League Baseball season, and man, there are some surprises so far. And I think the Pirates, maybe not a surprise necessarily either way. You figured they'd probably be around 500 at this spot. I mean, you could have maybe suggested that after their start to the season, they'd be a little bit better off. But I think most people that have followed the team, they're not shocked to see the Pirates' record what it is. But there are some others that are pretty shocking so far. And to me, one of the biggest stories has been the AL Central, which looks like from a year ago what was a very subpar division is now one of the best in baseball. The Cleveland Guardians with 36-17 record, the Kansas City Royals with a massive turnaround. They went out, brought a lot of pretty notable free agents in. They made some shrewd moves. They extended their superstar Bobby Witt Jr. I think the Pirates fans, they can look at a team like the Royals and see it doesn't have to take that long to turn it around. Kansas City, 34-20. The Twins, 28-24. Even the Tigers, which have struggled in recent years, just a game below 500. So you have four teams there who were very legitimately in the playoff discussion at this point in the AL Central. I don't know if many people would have thought that. I certainly would not have thought that the Toronto Blue Jays would be 6 games under. That was a team that a couple years ago was seemingly a hot pick for maybe a future World Series champion. They were trending in the right direction. They have taken a step back, and it's starting to look like if they don't turn it around, they might kind of sell off some of the key pieces that they have and kind of go with a rebuild. In the AL West, Seattle Mariners on the top of the standings currently. Not a completely shocking development, because Seattle's been in the playoffs a couple years ago. They were just a game away from the playoffs last year. I think what is surprising is that the Houston Astros and Oakland A's are almost comparable in the records right now. And because Houston has been kind of the standard bearer for almost a decade now in the AL, it's just shocking to see them at 24-29. And the A's, as bad as they were historically bad at this time a year ago. Not too awful. They're certainly not a good team, but considering that no one in Pittsburgh could probably name anyone on their team other than local native Mason Miller, the fact that they are 22-33, and again, just a couple games behind the Houston Astros, pretty surprising at this juncture. The Brewers being in first place in the Central, that's probably a surprise because they lost a lot of key components from last year's team. They are down some of their best pitchers from 2023. Corbin Burns obviously doing big things elsewhere, and Woodward has not pitched. So they, with a 30-22 record, that's a little surprising. No surprise, I would say, in the East and the West, where the Dodgers lead the West and The Phillies, which have been a great postseason team, lead the East. The only surprise you could say is maybe that Atlanta is the second place team, but we expected Atlanta to be good. The Braves are, even though they ultimately lost their series against the Buccos. The Phillies, however, have been out of this world at 38-16. So maybe a slight surprise that they have been that good. They were supposed to be good, but certainly Philadelphia has taken it to a higher level so far here in 2024. Next topic. All right, we're going to go rapid fire now for these final four. WNBA, I was skeptical that the hype that surrounded Caitlin Clark and the NCAA tournament for women's basketball would carry over. So far, so good. It has. Not only has Caitlin Clark become a big story, but every time I go on social media, I'm now seeing stories about Cam Brink and Angel Reese and all these other players. And you kind of need to sustain it for months and years at a time for it to really stick. But I think that the night and day transformation from one year to the next in the WNBA and ultimately in women's sports as a whole has been even greater than I expected. And so this is, I think, a real turning point for women's athletics. The WNBA has suddenly become popular, interesting. It has become a discussion point for not just women, but for men alike. And so that is a major sign of progress. And Caitlin Clark, I know she's getting criticized for her team struggling and some of her struggles, but she'll turn it around. And the big thing right now is people are talking about it and people are watching it. And I think that to a large degree that will sustain throughout this year and hopefully for years to come. Next topic, something that Jack talked about yesterday, the Aliquippa Quips stay in 4A. They were slated to move to 5A because of the PIAA's competitive balance. This is a win for Aliquippa. I think first and foremost, people saying that Aliquippa would have struggled in 5A, that I do not believe would be the case. They would have been just fine. I don't know that they would have won a championship. I think last year, there's probably no way they would have beaten a Peters Township. Could they have hung with and knocked off a Pine Richland or a Penn Hills or a Gateway? Yeah, I could certainly see that. So they would have been still one of the best teams in 5A, not only in the WPIAL, but in the entire state. However, I have always held the contention that this whole discussion was ridiculous because they got penalized for playing up two classifications. They were in 1A by enrollment, chose to play in 3A, and then as competitive balance came in, forced them into 4A, which they didn't really want to be in, and then subsequently was going to force them to be in 5A. Just ridiculous. If you want to do competitive balance and say you have to move up a classification from where you should be, that's fine, but base it on the classification where they should be based on enrollment. So Aliquippa, which is actually now for boys football, a 2A school, if you're going to say you have to be forced to move up one or two classes based on the competitive balance, I'm not going to argue that. But again, there's no way that that adds up to them being in 5A. So this was a common sense result. Kind of stinks for the 4A teams that thought that they might have a crack to potentially win a championship. I would imagine the Quips will be the heavy front runners again to get back to Acrisure and to hoist the trophy at the end of the season. But all told, for high school athletics in the entire state, this the right decision. Topic number 9. Well, we talk about high school football. I cover a lot of high school sports. And this week, it's not about football. It is about baseball and softball. The WPIAL championships, weather permitting, will be Tuesday and Wednesday for baseball at Wild Things Park down there in Washington. Wednesday and Thursday at Cal U's Lilly Field. And so I will be covering these events. And people that maybe don't pay that close attention, it is something that you should pay attention to. In particular, if you're looking for some names, there is an absolute superstar playing in the highest classification game, both for baseball and for softball. Those are, by the way, both scheduled to be on Wednesday. But I think that if you really wanted to, if you wanted to make the trek, I think you could probably swing both based on the times of the games, or at least how they're scheduled to play out. For the baseball side, Mount Lebanon's David Shields. You got to see this guy while you can. He is almost certainly going to be a high Major League Baseball draft pick in about a month's time, possibly a first-round pick. I saw him in person at Norwin this year, and I kid you not, there was, I believe, scouts from every Major League team there. I couldn't independently confirm that, but I was told from another scout, I think every team is represented here. He should be a junior. He skipped his junior year, reclassified to be a senior this year. He's already won two WPIAL titles through a no-hitter last year in the championship game. He is worth the price of admission. Might be, when it's all said and done, one of the best of his generation to come out of Western Pennsylvania. And on the softball side, Lexi Hames at Seneca Valley. She a junior. She's already won a WPIAL title. She is a special player. She will be a two-way player at Clemson in a couple of years, a star pitcher. She's just as good as a hitter as well as Seneca Valley looks to capture the 6A title. They playing Norman in softball and Mount Lebanon playing North Allegheny in baseball. Final topic today, it is IUP baseball. Yeah, a little off the beaten path with this one, but I had a chance to call the Atlantic Super Regional in Division II baseball. I am the broadcaster for Seton Hill. The Griffins were on the wrong end of a 2-1 series victory for the Crimson Hawks. They now go to the World Series, the Division II College World Series, just 8 teams in the entire country. So IUP, very proud of that accomplishment, and it's been a long time coming. They have been, quite frankly, a bad baseball program for a few decades now. In 2021, they won 2 games. They go from 2 games to 3 years later playing for a College World Series. Just an incredible story. Congrats to them. Congrats to Seton Hill on another great season. Second straight year that Seton Hill came up just shy of the College World Series. They've been there a couple times as well, so they know what that feeling is like. So enjoy it, Crimson Hawks fans. IUP headed to the College World Series in Division II. That's going to do it here today on the Fan Early Morning Show. 10 topics in a span of about 40 minutes, my ode to the incomparable Joe Starkey. We'll be back with Jack Kilgrove taking you through the next 4-plus hours as we continue right here on 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.